to 20 Minutes and Two Beers In. I'm JD.
Hey, everybody. This is Bobby.
Episode 136, and we're starting talking about football.
That's right. All of August, we're talking football. We're getting you ready for the season. So this week, we had on one of JD's favorite teams, bloggers. That's well, right.
No, I have nothing against our guest. Our guest was great, and I thought he's a really nice guy. And you know what? I'm curbing my feelings for the Bears for this episode.
Okay.
We're just going to get analytical and see what happens with the team.
So that's right. We were joined this week to talk about Chicago Bears training camp and what to expect this year from Lester Wiltfong Jr. He's from WindyCityGridiron.com. We had a great interview with him, learned a lot about how the Bears training camp has been going, and also what to expect fantasy-wise for them, too.
Nice. And as always, we have beer. And
yes.
You started us off with a tall boy.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. That's a good start.
It looks like Pac-Man.
It's 8-Bit Pale Ale. It's out of Tallgrass Brewing Company in Manhattan, Kansas. Pretty good pale ale, I think.
Galaxy hops in it. It's got a push start. I pushed it. Nothing happened. it is a fun looking can, and it is a good pale ale.
Not too shabby. A good way to do our interview.
Yes.
And with that, we should get to the interview. Of course, after the interview, we have 6-pack of questions. And as always,
music and our last call, one stop away.
That's right. So when we come back, we're joined by Lester Wiltfong from Windy City Gridiron.
Take what you want from me. I'm not afraid to turn around.
Well, we're very excited to have on Lester Wiltfong from WindyCityGridiron.com. He's an editor there. He's been covering the Bears. This will be, JD, his 5th training camp covering the Bears for WindyCityGridiron.com. Of course, you can get all your news on the Bears training camp at that website. Also, you can follow him on Twitter at Wiltfong Jr. Welcome to the podcast, Lester Wiltfong. Thanks for joining us, Lester.
Sure thing. No problem, guys.
And so you've been with you've this is your 5th training camp now following the Bears. Can you tell us what the differences are that between a Lovie Smith training camp and a Mark Trestman training camp so far?
You know, everything that's being reported, everything we've heard, everything our guys saw when he was down there was it's just a much quicker pace of the practice. That's not to say things with Lovie Smith was more laid back. It's just Mark Trestman seems to be a little more animated. Obviously, Lovie Smith was laid back. He seems to be really intense, is where he's going station to station. He's really encouraging the offense as well as the defense and the special teams, whereas Lovie Smith mostly focused on the defensive side of the ball, and he let his offensive coaches take care of the offense. Mark Trestman seems to be a little more hands-on with the entire team, and that's real good for the Bears.
Do you feel any trepidation from the team at all, the fact that he has been out of the NFL for so long and now jumping back in?
You know, it doesn't seem that way. I mean, when he was first hired, I mean, from the fan standpoint, you know, fans were pretty nervous. All they saw was CFL. You know, they didn't look at his whole resume, seeing that he was, you know, Oakland Raiders, you know, the 49ers. He had a brief time consulting with the Saints. He had some time in college, you know. So, to me, I don't see what the difference was hiring a hotshot guy out of college where they hired a hotshot guy to the CFL. He's not a newbie. He's been around the game of football for a long time. So, from a fan's perspective, it took a little while to warm up to him. The players, you know, I'm sure publicly they would never say anything. I'm sure privately they were a little nervous. But that all kind of went out the window once they saw how detailed they saw his plan put in place. And everything we've heard, like I said, has been it's all positive so far.
Well, obviously the biggest change that we're going to see is on the offensive side of the ball with Mark Trestman coming in. And, you know, although we're excited to see what he's going to bring to it, most of the time we're not going to see that in preseason games.
No.
But is there stuff that you guys are seeing in training camp that you wouldn't see in a preseason game where you're able to predict kind of what the offense is going to be like?
You know, it's kind of hard because the offense, like usual, is a little behind the defense. With the Bears' case, the offense is way behind the defense because it's a brand-new offense. And the defense, even though we have a new coordinator in town, it's the same defense they've always ran. So all the players are already into the system. They know the Tampa 2 scheme inside and out. So what they're doing is way ahead of the curve as opposed to what the offense is doing. So the offense in camp has not looked as good as we hope, but it's a West Coast offense. You know, the guys will get it eventually. They'll come around to it. It's just a matter of time, working on the timing and getting those defensive linemen to stop, you know, putting their hands in here and knocking down those passes.
With Cutler being with the Bears for, you know, a number of years and having almost zero continuity with coaches, do you see any confusion there, or do you think they're scaling back because of that?
It doesn't seem that way, you know, from the guys that, you know, we like I said, we had a guy down there, and from what he heard and the stuff, you know, a lot of stuff's on Twitter out there, and of course, you know, all the different publications covering him, taking all that information and bringing it together. It doesn't seem like there's any problem. It's just, again, it's early, though. Let's wait for the first time he's sacked, you know, five times in a game and see if there's an issue like it was the last few years. So far, it's all rosy. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, letting him get out there and play and see what happens.
Because nobody's really hitting yet.
No, there's no hitting. You know, the team drills are all, they're live, but there's no live pass rush. You know, it's just
Sure. Basically,
you know, the offensive line, the defensive line's coming at him. You know, they're doing a move or two, but, you know, if they get close to the quarterback, it's hands off. So, you wait and see what happens when he starts getting hit. We'll see if the offense is running quicker than they had in the last few years. Is it more three-step drops, more five-step drops? Are there more outlets to get the ball out quick? We'll see if that is, in fact, what we've been promised is what actually happens. Then we'll see how the relationship is between Cutler and Trestman.
And there's a lot of overreactions right now, it seems like. And I noticed on your blog you guys covered this. You know, when Jay Cutler throws a few interceptions in practice, it seems like the media is quick to jump all over him. But you guys are pointing out, hey, this isn't like a regular defense he's going to be seeing right now. What is the difference?
You know, it's just, like I said, the offense is just a little behind. And that's, you know, even if they weren't, you know, putting a new offense in, it's going to be the case anyway. I mean, all around the NFL, you know, defense is more reactionary. Offense is more timing-based, so it just takes a little time to get the kinks worked out. So, and then with Cutler, everything is overblown with him anyway. So it doesn't matter what he does, he's going to get, you know, you're going to have half the guys who just want to just pile on, half the guys who want to make an excuse. You got to find somewhere in the middle where the truth lies.
How do you feel the wide receiver core for him is going to be shaping up?
You know, I think he has to be ecstatic. You know, obviously he has Brandon Marshall there, but he also has, you know, the guy from the rookie last year, Alshon Jeffrey. Hopefully he's healthy. Hopefully he can bring him that 6'3" target. You know, Earl Bennett's a little dinged up, but the rest of the receivers are all pretty big. You know, he's never had a full receiving core that's just been this big, you know, top to bottom. And, you know, we'll see what happens once the game starts, but, you know, it looks good on paper.
Let's talk on the defensive side of the ball real quick. This is not only the first training camp in a long time without Lovie Smith running the helm. This is the first training camp without Brian Urlacher. How's the defense been operating differently that you guys have noticed?
You know, it's Lance Briggs making the calls now. And the cool thing about that is he actually went to Mel Tucker and the coaches, and he said, hey, you know, I want to be the guy that calls the plays. You know, normally the middle linebacker's job is to be the play caller, where it was Urlacher the last, you know, 10 years or so. Now it's going to be Lance Briggs making the call. But, you know, that makes sense. You know, it's the same system he knows. He knows it better than the guys that came in to play middle linebacker this year. So letting him make the play calls, it makes sense. And then, you know, keeping everything intact, it's the same defense we've seen. You know, they're going to have a few wrinkles here and there. You know, this last week in training camp, they're putting in some zone blitz kind of stuff where they got the defensive linemen standing up and dropping back. We saw a little bit of that with Lovie, but I think this year under Mel Tucker, we'll see a little more of that.
I know Bears backers, it's hard to look at Brian Urlacher other than, you know, the fact, you know, he will be a Hall of Famer someday, but he hasn't been himself leading, you know, up to his retirement, forced retirement. But is having Urlacher off the field, that's not necessarily a bad thing, is it?
The Urlacher from 2012, yeah, it's okay to have him gone. If he would have came back fully healthy, and I wrote about this, if he's healthy, I think he could have been a big asset to the team. But the problem was is you don't know if he's going to be healthy. I mean, he had the hamstring after the knee, so was his body telling him to walk away and he wasn't accepting it? Was he forced out, like you said, or is it just, you know, is he sitting out there and he could have helped someone? You know, we'll never know because he said he's officially done now. He won't come back for nothing.
One thing that's nice so far for the Bears is lack of major injuries so far in training camp. The Packers can't say the same thing.
Yeah, the Packers got hit pretty bad.
Hayden's out, yeah, but the Packers, I mean, already three guys potentially, you know, gone for at least some period of time.
Yeah.
Have you noticed with Tressman's training camp so far a different, you say it's intense, but it doesn't seem like you're dropping with a lot of injuries like other teams are.
You know, they've had their fair share. I mean, they lost Calvin Hayden. They announced today he's out for the year. Turk McBride went down within the first day or two to back up defensive end. Then they've had a few, minor things. But overall, the whole NFL seems to be getting hit really hard. I can't remember an NFL where it's gotten hit this hard. But then I was listening to one of the radio stations a couple days ago, and they had one of the national writers. He said that it's about average. It's just that now with social media like it is, it's being recorded a lot wider. Mm-hmm. So we're just hearing more about it. But it does, to me, it seems like it's a lot more than it used to be.
I think one of the things most Bears fans are hopeful for the most is a change on the offensive line. And they saw that with some good free agent signings and a focus on the draft on just that. What are you seeing out of the battle between James Brown and Kyle Long for that guard position?
On the first unofficial depth chart that came out, James Brown and Kyle Long were listed as co-starters. But today at practice, it was, from what I understand, it was mostly James Brown getting all the first-team reps, Kyle Long mostly with the twos. So I'm expecting Brown to start come Friday night. But you're going to see both guys. And the offensive coordinator / O-line coach Aaron Cromer, he already said it's an open competition on the line. So, you know, I think Kyle Long will have every chance to start. But, you know, James Brown's not going to, you know, he's not going to just give the job to the rookie.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, it's one of those things. I'm excited on Friday. That's what I'm going to watch most is how the offensive line plays, because the skill guys, you know, Jay Cutler, Marshall, they're going to have three or four plays. They're going to be done. The O-line's going to be in there for, you know, I would imagine most of the first quarter, maybe into the second. So we'll see how they look.
It is going to be interesting because think what you will about Mike Tice. The guy was able to get blood from a stone with that offensive line for a number of years. Now that's gone. It's going to be interesting to see how the schemes play out for that new offensive line.
You know, they're going to be a little more zone based in the run game, from what I understand, and that's probably a good thing with this group. They're a pretty athletic group, so you know, watching some of the stretch plays, some of the inside-outside zone runs that we'll probably see on Friday, seeing how the offensive line, or if they're stepping in unison, are they missing their double teams. You know, we'll see how they perform on the line. And you know, the biggest question mark to me is Roberto Garza as a center, you know, if he can improve on what he did last year. Last year probably wasn't his best year.
Well, let's turn to what I think most of the listeners think is the sexiest part of this interview, which is going to be fantasy football talk.
By the way, Lester, I won our fantasy league last year.
Oh, nice. Congrats.
I just want that out there first and foremost.
Okay, get it out there. Get it out there.
Well, let's ask the real question now. Is Brandon Marshall going to be the top Bear to draft?
That's a good question, you know, because with the West Coast offense, you got, you know, your tailback's going to get a lot of balls in the backfield. If you look at Mark Trestman's track record, when he was in Oakland, his tailback had over 90 receptions, I believe, a couple times, or over 80 a couple times. When he was in Arizona, his running back and his fullback had quite a few. So Matt Forte should be in the 70 to 80 range as receptions. So if you're in a PPR league, he's going to be a big pickup for you. His touchdowns may hurt, as they do every year, but his receptions and reception yards may make up for his lack of touchdowns. But Brandon Marshall, again, he's going to go over 1,000 yards. He's going to, you know, be 9, 10, you know, 11 touchdowns. So it's a toss-up between those two.
Is Cutler a top 10 fantasy quarterback?
You know, I wouldn't draft him top 10. I draft him as my backup quarterback, and I watch matchups because the offense may take a little while to come around, but if everything's clicking, I mean, you got to remember when Cutler played in Denver, that was a West Coast offense. He threw over 4,000 yards. He went to the Pro Bowl, so it's not the exact same scheme. Shanahan was a little more run heavy, We're using a lot more play action, from what I understand, that what Trestman does. But until we see it in the game, it's hard to say. But you know, he has some comfort in the West Coast offense, so it may take him a little while. And if he gets really going hot towards the second half of the season, maybe you do put Jay Cutler as your starter for a few games.
And Marcellus Bennett finished last year at 13th scoring tight end. Do you think with this offense and with the change of location, he's going to be a top 10 tight end?
He could. You know, he's one of those guys that, you know, last year was his big breakout year. But I think this year he could be even better because, you know, with Brandon Marshall drawing so much attention on the outside, you know, the middle is going to be there for Bennett to do his thing. You know, it's you're always going to have to pick your poison with most offenses, but with the Bears, you know, Brandon Marshall is the clear-cut guy. You know, the safety will cheat over to him. You know, they may do a little more double-teaming on him. You know, all eyes will be on Marshall, so if you have Martellus Bennett running the seam, you know, doing the little hitch route over the middle, you know, I think he could approach career-high numbers as far as receptions, yards, and touchdowns this year.
Outstanding. Is he going to be the fantasy breakout that the Bears have this year?
Probably him. I mean, because you know what you're going to get from Marshall. You know, people are expecting Matt Forte to, like I said, with the West Coast offense, to have a real good fantasy year. Plus, he's always a pretty good fantasy back because he does get a lot of receptions. But having an actual tight end in Chicago, when's the last time a fantasy guy could say that?
That's true.
Very true. Very true. As far as... How is the special teams going to be for the Bears right now? I mean, you've got a Hester situation that's changed. How's that shaping up so far? Is he even making the roster?
You know, he has to really wow them in practice because he's not going to have a lot of chance, I don't think, in games. A lot of times you don't put your number one return guy out there a lot because – you're shuffling so many new faces in on special teams because all the backup guys, that's where they're going to win their job. So the coaches have to get them in there. And you really want a guy who could be, you know, doing the selling insurance in a month, blocking for Devin Hester right now.
No.
You know, so you're probably not going to have a Hester, you know, he's not going to get a lot of reps. So what he does in practice, what he does in his few opportunities, that's all they're going to have to go on. But plus, he has a track record. I mean, he's Devin Hester. He's ridiculous. So I think he'll get the benefit of the doubt, and they'll keep him on the roster this year.
Speaking of the Bears as a whole, how do you have them finishing?
Oh, geez. You know, you got to think they're going to be near the playoff discussion. I mean, they were 10-6 last year, and they had Mike Tice running the offense. The defense returning, you know what I mean? It was a very predictable offense. Mike Tice was a little over his head. I don't think people expected it to be as bad as it was. But 10-6 last year, the defense is pretty much returning intact. You have Urlacher gone, but he wasn't very good last year anyway. So you have hopefully an upgrade there. So if the defense can remain top 10, I don't know if they get as high as top 5 like they were last year, but if they're a top 10 defense and you figure the offense makes some strides and they're a top 15 offense, well, you know, why not? You know, they could be, you know, 10-6 again, maybe 11-5 if they get a break here or there, but you know, I don't see them having a losing record. Mm-hmm. I see them competing for a playoff spot at least.
Well, good stuff, Lester. Thank you so much for joining him. Again, he's the editor from WindyCityGridiron.com. You can read all about Bears training camp there and also get the news from him on Twitter at Wilt Fong Jr. Thanks again, Lester, for joining us. We look forward to the Bears season, see what they do.
Thanks, guys. Anytime. Take what you want from me.
I'm not afraid to turn around. All right, Bobby, it's time for some music.
And what do you got?
I've got a repeat artist. I've had this guy on the podcast. We've done, this is episode 136, three seasons.
We're gonna have some repeats.
I've probably had him on 3 to 4 times.
Sievert?
Not Sievert.
Okay, that was my
guess. I think this is tying or maybe even passing Sievert for a number of times I've had this guy on the podcast. Mark Lanegan.
Oh, of course.
And there's a reason, because we're trying to make this a Chicago-centric show this week.
Yeah.
I don't know if we are or not, but this maybe goes with the theme.
Okay.
But Mark Lanegan is going to be in Chicago performing at the Old Town School of Folk Music. And he's going to be performing October 10th. It's a Thursday. Tickets go on sale, if you're listening to this on Thursday, today.
Ooh.
From members of Old Town School of Folk Music. For the rest of us peoples, it goes on sale on Friday morning.
That's a great venue.
It is a. It's going to be great. I'm hoping to be there. I'm hoping you're going to be there as well, and maybe even get a chance to talk to Mark Lanigan, which is amazing. The amount of albums he's had out this year, it's crazy. Tons and tons of albums, whether it's collaborations, mm-hmm. on his own. The Mad Season came out, and he finished a few songs on there. Queens of the Stone Age. You know, he's part of a lot of projects, a music veteran. And this song that I'm playing today is a Dylan song he covered. Yep, it's called "Man in the Long Black Coat."
There's a soft cotton dress on the line, hanging dry. Windows wide open, African trees popping over backwards from a hurricane breeze. Not a word of goodbye, not even a note. She gone with the man in the long black coat. Somebody seen him hanging around at the old dance hall on the outskirts of town. He looked into her eyes when she stopped in to ask if he wanted to dance. He had a face like a mask. Somebody said from the Bible he'd quote, there was dust on the man in the long black coat. Preacher was a talking. There's a sermon he gave. He said every man's conscience is vile and depraved. You cannot depend on it to be your guide when it's you who must keep it satisfied.
So about me, that's Mark Lanigan off the I'm Not Here album, Bob Dylan tribute album. I like it. Go check him out at Old Town School of Folk Music.
Very nice.
Bobby, it's time for our six-pack.
And I think I get to go last, and you have to go first, because once again, I won the competition.
Here's the deal, folks. We've branched out.
Yes.
We're past basketball.
Because I was dominating so much.
Because my shoulder was out of socket.
Fair for you. And do different things.
We did. Paper football last week.
Mm-hmm.
This week, we put... I don't know a cool way to say this.
There's no cool way to say this.
A stuffed animal,
yep.
Small stuffed animal, on top of our head, and the other person chucked a ball at it to mm-hmm. try to knock it off. And the first person
situation.
Yes, yes. And Bobby did win.
The apple. I did win. Second throw.
Very close on my second throw.
Well,
very
close is only horseshoes and hand grenades, my friend.
Wow.
So we need you to start questions, but we need music first. Are you going to tell us about a beer?
We're drinking a beer.
Okay.
From Avery Brewing Company. We've moved on to White Rascal. Kind of a cool-looking devil on the can. It's a Belgian-style white ale, and it's ale brewed with spices.
Not too bad. They are a lot of spices. It's kind of like the spices you'd expect in a pumpkin ale. Is what I taste in there.
I taste that, like, if you combine a pumpkin ale with a wit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it...
Yeah, not as much pumpkin, but there is the same spices, and it tastes kind of like a wit. Yep.
Yeah. So, anyway, we're going to start, and we're going to start music now. Bobby, believe it or not, I am... Wow. Almost 20 years late for this, but I finally watched Dazed and Confused.
Really?
I was homesick on Monday, so I watched Django Unchained and Dazed and Confused.
Awesome.
We talked about Django Unchained off air. It was good. I really liked it. I recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
Dazed and Confused? Meh.
What?
Eh.
Although you're late to the party.
Now, if I would have watched that when I was in high school...
You absolutely would have loved it.
I probably would have loved it. Now I'm just like, it's all right. But to me, it felt like all these different movies, high school movies, Breakfast Club, mm-hmm. you know, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, just shoved into a stoner film.
With a great soundtrack.
Soundtrack was amazing.
And Matthew McConaughey, everything you expect out of a Matthew McConaughey movie.
All right, all right, all right. Have you ever had a movie built up and you've waited for a long time? You finally saw it and you're like, ugh.
That's a good question. You really, it reminds me right now, you're reminding me of Jim Gaffigan talking about the movie Heat when you saw
Have
it like 6 years. 6 years ago, weirdo.
Well, I want to talk about it.
So have I seen a movie? I don't know. Like, movies like that, I think, are able, if it's good, it crosses, it should be able to cross a generation.
Should
I will say the movie that did not cross one for me is one I didn't see. I only saw bits and pieces of when I was in high school, and I've seen it all now. Dude, Where's My Car? Didn't like it. Still don't get it.
I'd give you that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was kind of funny.
It's a cult movie.
Yes.
Which those are always hit or miss anyways, but it's right. A cult movie that definitely missed with me. I didn't see it at the time, but I still don't think it would have carried over at the time.
All right.
JD, should we... Johnny Manziel's all over the news right now.
Right.
With what's going on at A&M, the autograph situation. He's now has autograph brokers who've come forward saying they did indeed pay him. They have video of him signing, and they said that they paid him $7,500.
Two videos. Yeah.
Should we feel any sympathy for Johnny Manziel?
No. I kind of echo the sentiment that Kirk Herbstreit from College Football Game Day said is, how dumb is this kid?
Mm-hmm.
Either he really didn't know, or he's just that dumb. And I think he's just that dumb. Because if you're a college kid, you know you're not supposed to, a college athlete, accept money for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Amplify that 100 times when you're a Heisman Trophy winner. You know you don't accept money for anything. And then he did.
Yeah.
And there's video of it.
Absolutely.
How dumb do you have to be? I'm with Kirk Herbstreit on this. There's no sympathy for this kid. And this could cost him games, right?
Yeah.
They're talking, it cost him 2 games, no big deal. Third game they play is Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal.
Absolutely.
And could it cost him that? Maybe. You're a dumbass.
I understand where people are saying, well, he's made the school millions of dollars. I understand that completely. But that doesn't change the fact that there are still rules in place at the time. He's well aware of those rules. And it's also not like he's hurting for money. He's told everybody how he comes from wealthy parents, and that's who pays for all his fun times. So this isn't like a kid who's poor who needs this money to get by. He's already a wealthy kid. I don't have any sympathy for him either, JD.
No. This is a little bit of a loaded question for you, Bobby. Really loaded question. Could have a whole week's or month's worth of shows on this, but is baseball finally turning the corner and being over the drug era?
No. I think there's still going to be more names to come out. I think there's going to be more reports to come out. And baseball's not over. Baseball's not the one that's cracking these cases. It's the media that's doing it. It's good reporting that's going in and finding out about biogenesis. Without the media, you don't have biogenesis. This wasn't a Major League Baseball investigation that disclosed this. This was reporters working on their own. So has baseball turned a corner? I don't think so yet. I think there's still going to be a lot more things coming out. I think you still need people to come clean about everything. People are accepting their suspensions. They're being quiet about it. If you really want to come clean, you really want to show things are changed, you need all these people to come forward, yep, tell you how they did it, why they did it, and those are the ways that you can make changes, is based on what these people are telling you, how they cheated the system. That's how you reform the system. JD, Sylvester Stallone came out against Bruce Willis this week.
Yeah.
Hard against him this week, as he's not going to be in Expendables 3. In his place, Harrison Ford. This is a two-part question.
Okay.
First off, pound for pound, you put their movies right alongside each other. Who's the better action star, Harrison Ford or Bruce Willis?
Wow, I thought you were going to go Sylvester Stallone or Bruce Willis.
No.
Harrison Ford or Bruce Willis?
Now, keep in mind, Harrison Ford has had some great action movies.
He really
like
has.
Like the Star Wars trilogy, but also Air Force One is a great one. He had the Tom Clancy novels, Clear and Present Danger, that sort of thing, where he was a legitimate action star.
But he's not your stereotypical action star.
Not at all.
Where Bruce Willis with the Die Hards really was. You know, I'm going Harrison Ford. I'm going with Han Solo on this one. I'm going with Indiana Jones on this one.
Part B, why is Bruce Willis such an asshole?
I know, right? I think he was still bitter over Demi. And he's got the new bride. He's expecting a kid, I think, with the new bride.
Oh, boy.
Honestly, I think it's probably all coming down to money and egos. And he wants top billing. And from what it sounds like, all those guys in the Expendables movies, have you watched them?
I've seen them, yeah.
Yeah, they're entertaining.
They are.
And they all kind of, sounds like they all get along well. And it's like, hey, we're all going to split this pie. And my guess is Bruce Willis is like, no, I want to be this thing. And Stallone's like, hey, this is my show.
Yeah.
Back off my show. So, anyway. Lollapalooza was this past week in Chicago. Largest crowd ever. 300 and some thousand, I think they said at one point in time.
Yeah, it was big.
I didn't go this year. You didn't go this year.
Nope.
Name one band that would make you have to put up with 300,000 drunk puking people to go see, buy a ticket, stand in the heat, in the rain, to go see at Lollapalooza in Chicago.
Easy. Rage Against the Machine.
Really?
If you reunite Rage Against the Machine, I will go to Lollapalooza.
I was expecting, hey, I want to see Butch Walker.
No. Because you're going to see Butch Walker elsewhere. He's not a festival kind of guy. No, Rage Against the Machine. Besides, I would rather see Butch Walker at a smaller venue than Lollapalooza. If Rage Against the Machine would reunite and play a show, I would do almost anything to get to that show. That would be amazing.
You surprised me, Bobby.
I'm glad. You know, 136 episodes, I still surprise you, JD.
You're bringing in the metal. You hear that, Cliff? He's bringing in the metal.
All right, and last question for you, JD. We talked about the Bears today, and I want you, as co-host of the 20 Minutes, 2 Beers In podcast, I don't want Minnesota Viking JD. I want co-host JD. Look at the schedule for the Bears. I want you to tell me, honestly, coming off a 10-6 season, what their record is going to be this year.
All right, Bobby. It's tough, but I'm going 9-7. I think they're going to lose to Cincy. You know, going to lose a couple to Minnesota. I think they're going to split with Green Bay. Green Bay's having injuries. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think there's going to be a ton of surprises. I think Pittsburgh's a game that's going to be interesting. It wouldn't shock me if they split with Detroit, but Detroit always shows promise. I think they're going to lose to the Saints. They'll win against St. Louis, lose against Ravens. You know, it's tough for the NFC Central because, you know, pulling that AFC is going to be tough. You know, since it could be tough, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, I don't know.
But 9-7?
9-7.
And you know what? I think you were honest on this one. You were very honest. You looked at the record. You looked at the schedule. You went through it. I'm surprised at you, actually. I feel like that's a really reasonable answer for you.
Hey, like we heard earlier, you know, they went 10-win last year.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough with the new coach.
Yeah.
But I think some things could happen in the division to get them some wins. So.
Well, JD, I have some music for us. I think my song bests your song. Now, I only say this because I think they're pretty similar.
Okay.
Both kind of slow. Mine is a little more country than yours. But mine
wasn't
is
country
a legend.
In any way whatsoever.
You're covering a Dylan song. There's always going to be some country
folk.
Influence.
Folk.
Okay, anyways, Steve Earle, folk
Steve
musician.
Irwin, the crocodile hunter?
Steve Earle, very famous musician, okay. Steve Earle. He had an album come out this year called The Low Highway. It's with Steve Earle and the Dukes and Duchesses. This is the title track of that, The Low Highway.
Traveling now on the low highway, 3,000 miles to the Frisco Bay. Across the rivers wild and along some plains, up a coast and down, back again. I saw empty houses on dead end streets, lining up to something, and the ghost of America watching me through the broken windows of the factories. Picket bones of a better day as I roll down the low highway. light of day.
You lose, Bobby.
I lose?
Yeah. Lanigan song was much better.
Oh, please.
Weigh in on Facebook, people. Weigh in on Facebook.
Well, it's time for the last call, One Stop Away, JD. This is an exciting development in theory. Taco Bell has introduced some great tacos in the past couple years.
The Doritos Locos.
The Doritos Loco taco. First the nacho cheese, then they doubled down with the cool ranch.
Not as good, but I hear you.
Okay, now they're bringing us the waffle taco. It sounds waffle exactly taco. Like it is. It's a taco made with a waffle crust. Now, they're not the first to introduce the waffle into fast food this year. Popeye's Chicken has introduced a chicken tender that's coated in waffle coating. So it's a...
Which makes sense, though, because people talk about chicken and waffles.
Absolutely. It sounds delicious. So Taco Bell, I guess this is to be more of a breakfast thing, but I'll
because
tell you...
Because when I think breakfast, I think Taco Bell.
Yeah, that's what I'm always jonesing for in the morning. But to see a picture of us, it literally looks like an Eggo waffle just folded in half around a sausage patty and eggs. That's not what I'm thinking when I'm thinking waffle taco.
No. But actually, it doesn't look too bad.
It doesn't look bad. I mean, it would be good, but all it is a waffle with sausage and egg. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's the McGriddle does that already pretty much, and I think the McGriddle looks better than what this looks like.
Is the big question, is the waffle, does it have maple syrup flavoring?
Side of syrup.
Okay,
you can dip.
Okay.
I don't like that.
You want it
go
baked
Go big
in?
Or go home,
you want
Taco
it baked
Bell.
In?
Don't just give me an Eggo waffle and wrap it around there and tell me it's a waffle taco. Okay? That's what you're doing to me. And at least Popeyes actually made the chicken tender, dipped it in the waffle batter. I mean, they did it right. Taco Bell, I don't feel right saying this because of the glory that they've done with the Doritos Loco Taco. But shame on you, Taco Bell.
Shame on you.
Shame on you.
Shame on you. Bobby... this happened in Doral, Florida, a Florida restaurant.
Doral? It's Doral.
Doral.
Not Daryl.
Doral. A Florida restaurant had to get rid of a piece of machinery they had because of an animal rights activist complaint.
What did you say?
Well, I kind of liked the machinery.
Oh, okay.
Until late July, diners at Carolina Ale House in Doral... could pay $2 and win a live lobster by grabbing it with a mechanical claw, similar to those winning teddy bears and other prizes. Management removed it and stopped serving lobsters altogether after Christina Fernandez, shame on you, Christina, complained about the game. She says the animals were swimming in filth. It was cruel and it was inhumane. Do you know what they do to those lobsters? No, but it's delicious.
It's delicious.
She said, when I was growing up, those machines had stuffed animals. Now, Fernandez, who grew up catching lobsters in the Florida Keys, took a reasoned explanation to restaurant manager Andy Dunks. Now, this is Dunks' quote. She came in and we hit it off.
Oh, boy. Oh, this
love
is a lawsuit
in
waiting.
The making. Said, the last thing we want to do is offend anybody. He said the loss of the lobster game has thus far not hurt his business. Well, I'm telling you this much. I'm not going.
Isn't that what Red Lobster does? They have a big lobster tank right in the back. And you just go, I want that one. Instead, you're actually having a mechanical thing go down and pick it up.
Audience participation.
That's...
Customer participation.
Never seen a problem with that.
No, I want one. I want one in my own home.
I'm going to go over to your home the next time I see you, and there's just going to be a fish tank...
And all these lobsters looking at you like, get me the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to happen.
Shut it down.
Well, hey, it's been a fun podcast. Big thanks to Lester Wiltfong for talking Bears football with us.
That's right. Next week, we're going to be talking Broncos football. Very excited about the guest we have lined up to talk Denver Broncos with us. And if you are interested in your team being covered, make sure you hit us up. Because, again, all August, we're covering NFL teams. We're going to talk to people from those teams. So if you want your team covered, hit us up on Facebook or email us. Where can they email us at?
20 minutes, 2 beers in, @gmail.com. And as always, on Twitter, @2beersin.
That's right. So next week, we'll see you.
All right.